gentlemen, welcome.
Please note that while I am a mental health professional and educator of this podcast and the information shared within it, I intended solely for information, education, and entertainment purposes. The content discussed does not constitute therapy, counseling, or any form of professional mental health services. It should not be used as a substitute for therapy or personalized mental health treatment. If you are in need of support, please consult with a licensed therapist or appropriate healthcare professional. Hello and welcome to Project I Am. This is number 3 of our mentoring moments, and these moments are created for counseling students in various master's programs that are going through the process of gaining their education to become licensed professional counselors. Today, we're going to talk all about the importance of having one core theory. So oftentimes when I ask somebody what their theory is, people respond with, oh, I'm eclectic. I use a bit of this and I use a bit of that. I use a bit of narrative and I use a bit of CBT and I throw in some IFS here and there. And I don't think people really know what they say when they're saying that. And that isn't because they aren't wise. It's only because sometimes people have not given it a lot of thought. Your core theory is really the way you look at the world. And the way you choose your theory is largely informed by the way you conceptualize people and their pain. And we need to differentiate between theories and interventions. You might have multiple interventions, but you really only have one core theory. So I had the real privilege in my master's program of working with Dr. Vanessa Joy. She was my instructor during that time, and she was phenomenal. And we all felt a lot of pressure going into that class because we felt this pressure to know our theory going into that class already. But Dr. Joy gave us so much grace and so much freedom, and the way she did it was something like this. We were in the clinic on campus, and our clinic had 12 rooms where you could record with cameras the sessions that were going on in the rooms. And she divided us up into pairs and sent us up into the rooms. And she said, just go and be yourself and let's see what theory you are naturally demonstrating. And I loved this because what it meant was we were going to be ourselves and exercise our gifts and use the basic skills of reflecting meaning, reflecting feeling, paraphrasing, etc. And she was going to see what direction we were leaning in with our reflections and our open-ended questions. And I went into that session and I did my thing and felt okay about it. And when I came out, she was like, oh, David, that was really nice. It looks like you are this particular theory. The other thing with theory is that there are so many theories out there that we only know the ones to choose from based on the theories that we've been exposed to. So there's REBT, CBT, DBT, narrative therapy, relational cultural theory. There's so much, right? Psychodynamic, psychoanalytic. There's a solution-focused brief therapy, internal family systems. There are so many different theories out there. And what we need to realize is your core theory will determine the way you conceptualize the cases. But your interventions, even though most of your interventions will come from your core theory, the best intervention to use is the one that's most applicable for the client. So for example, my core theory is relational cultural theory. However, I will use the miracle question from solution-focused brief therapy. I will use exercises from internal family systems. I will use exercises from CBT. Whatever my client needs during that moment to help them in the situation they're in, but the way I conceptualize their problem is going to be based on relational needs that I learned from relational cultural theory. Because I believe personally, part of my worldview is that we all have a deep-seated need to know others and be known by others. And so I come from that relational background. So if we had to look at the example, I'll give you a case study. We had to look at the example of Carlos, right? So let's read about this particular client. So Carlos is 35 years old. He's an IT project manager. He's married with 2 young kids, 5 and 3. And his presenting problem is that he feels unfulfilled in his career and is experiencing a sense of disconnection in his marriage. Okay, here's some background for him. Carlos is a 35-year-old IT project manager who has been with his current company for over 10 years. While he's proud of his professional accomplishments, he increasingly feels unfulfilled and frustrated at work. He describes his job as comfortable but unchallenging, and he's unsure if he should look for a more meaningful career or stay in his stable position to provide for his family. Carlos's dissatisfaction at work seems to be spilling over into his home life. He describes his relationship with his wife Sarah as fine but distant. Both Carlos and Sarah work full-time, and with the demands of caring for their young children, they rarely spend quality time together. Carlos feels guilty about not being more present with his children and often wonders if he's doing enough as a father and a husband. He says that he feels stuck and is struggling to make any significant changes. While he sometimes thinks about pursuing a different career, he worries about the financial implications for his family. He has supportive parents, but they're both retired and have a traditional view on work, encouraging him to stay with his current job for stability. Carlos hasn't shared these thoughts with anyone else, including Sarah, as he fears it may add to her stress. Carlos seeks counseling to understand his feelings and gain clarity on his future path. He says he wants to feel more satisfied and is open to exploring changes, but feels anxious and unsure of where to start. So here's a pretty generic situation of somebody that would come in for counseling. Carlos is 35 years old, married with two kids, is feeling a little distant in his relationship with his wife and unfulfilled at work, and so he comes to you for counseling. Now, your theory will change, will impact the way that you see this particular case, right? So here are Carlos's goals. He wants to gain clarity about career direction and whether to pursue a different job or not. He wants to improve his connection with his wife and strengthen their relationship. He wants to feel more engaged as a father, and he wants to reduce his feelings of guilt and anxiety around his current state of feeling stuck. So if I came at this case from a CBT perspective, and CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, was my core theory, I would explore how Carlos's thoughts and his feelings about being stuck might influence his feelings of guilt and dissatisfaction. I would help him identify and challenge any cognitive distortions related to work and family roles and his self-worth, and I would focus on creating actionable steps to reframe his mindset and test new behaviors. Okay, that makes sense. If I was psychodynamic, for example, I would explore any unconscious conflicts or patterns that might be influencing Carlos's sense of duty and his stuckness. I would consider his childhood experiences with family expectations around stability and career, and I would analyze potential underlying conflicts between his desire for security and his need for self-fulfillment. Okay, that makes sense, right? In psychodynamic therapy, I would be looking for patterns based on childhood experiences. I would be trying to look at some of the less conscious patterns that are going on inside of Carlos. However, if I was existential, if I was an existentialist or an existential therapist, I would discuss concepts like choice, freedom, responsibility, and meaning. I would help Carlos explore what a meaningful career and fulfilling family life would look like for him and examine his anxiety in the face of these choices, and then also support him in accepting the freedom and responsibility to make choices that align with his values. If I was a solution-focused brief therapist, I would emphasize solutions by helping Carlos identify moments when he feels more connected with his family or satisfied with work. I would explore small, actionable steps he can take to feel more fulfilled without necessarily making drastic changes. And lastly, if I was a narrative therapist, I would work with Carlos to examine and reauthor the narrative he had around being stuck and needing to follow traditional paths. I would help him construct an empowering story that emphasizes his strengths, his choices, and his desires for a meaningful life. So you can see that with that one case study, you can apply it from multiple angles based on your worldview. But you can't have all of these worldviews. You have one worldview, right? So let's do another case study and look at different ways of looking at it. And maybe now we'll also touch on some interventions. Let's think of the case of Sarah. Sarah is 30. She's a second-generation immigrant and was raised in a strict religious household. She moved to a different city for college and has been living really independently since then. Sarah recently began a high-stress job in a competitive field and has found herself increasingly isolated and overwhelmed, unable to balance her family's expectations with her personal and professional aspirations. When Sarah showed up for therapy, she reported feelings of anxiety, loneliness, and low self-esteem. She feels guilty for not being able to meet her family's expectations and struggles with setting boundaries with her parents, who frequently express disappointment in her life choices. Sarah has become withdrawn, avoiding friends and social events, and often experiences imposter syndrome at work. Her main goals for therapy are to gain confidence, to manage her anxiety, and find a sense of purpose and belonging. Okay. So, as a relational cultural therapist, I would focus on the role of relationships in Sarah's life, particularly the impact of cultural expectations and family relationships on her sense of self. I would explore Sarah's feelings of isolation and disconnection, viewing her experiences within the context of cultural and familial dynamics that influence her relationships and her self-worth. And so, as interventions, I would explore connection and disconnection. I would use empathy and relational awareness. I would use empowerment and authenticity as tools in our therapeutic relationship. As a CBT therapist, I would focus on identifying and modifying Sarah's negative thought patterns and her beliefs that contribute to her anxiety, low self-esteem, and imposter syndrome. In this approach, I would aim to change how Sarah interprets her experiences and how these interpretations affect her behavior and emotions. So as a CBT therapist, I would use cognitive restructuring, behavioral activation, self-monitoring and relaxation techniques, and maybe even exposure to challenging situations, exercises where she could expose herself gradually to stress and make different choices. As a narrative therapist, I would focus on helping Sarah reauthor her life story, placing her experiences within a broader context that empowers her to define her own identity and purpose. I would emphasize externalization of problems and viewing them as separate from Sarah's sense of self. And so the interventions I would use would be externalizing the problem, identifying unique outcomes, reauthoring her story, and I would also talk about community and culture and the broader context of Sarah's life. As a solution-focused brief therapist, I would focus on identifying Sarah's goals, envisioning a preferred future, and building on her existing strengths so that she could make small practical changes. This approach emphasizes solution building over problem exploration. So I would use identifying exceptions, I would use the miracle question, scaling questions, and I would build on the strengths that Sarah already has. So as you can see in both these case studies of Carlos and Sarah, when you look at it through different lenses, you approach it differently. A lot of us feel drawn to multiple theories, and we might feel like we have a blend of two theories. I'm very relational cultural, but I'm also very narrative. And while I think that's cool to some degree, I think it would behoove us as therapists and our clients if we majored in one particular therapy and we got to know that therapy, that theory, really well. Right. And we use interventions from wherever we find them. So as a relational cultural therapist, I always tell my clients, I work from Relational Cultural Theory Foundation, which means that I use the therapeutic relationship between us as the vehicle for which change can take place. I believe in mutuality. I try to address the power imbalance as much as possible. I believe in more disclosure than maybe a solution-focused brief therapist would, because I want to dismantle that power imbalance as much as possible. And while I might use the miracle question from solution-focused therapy, I might use the scaling question from there, I might use externalization from narrative therapy, I might use cognitive restructuring from cognitive theory, I'm really going to look at this situation from a relational perspective. I hope that makes sense. So as you move forward and you begin to focus on your core theory, try on a different theory here or there. What will most probably happen is as you read about theories, you will gravitate more towards one theory over others. As you read it, it'll resonate with you, and to you, it'll make sense. In your mind, something inside of you will happen that goes, this is it, this is how the world works, based on your experiences. When you have that feeling, that is generally a good clue that the theory you're reading about is the one for you. Also, be mindful that you're only exposed to a particular amount of theories while you're in school. When I was in school, I didn't know about relational cultural theory, and so I left my master's program believing that narrative therapy was my jam, because out of all the theories that I learned about, that one fit me the best, and it resonated with me most. However, once I was exposed to relational cultural theory, it's kind of like my eyes opened and I went, oh my gosh, this is it. Kind of like this is the answer to the world's problems, even though I don't necessarily think it is. But in my eyes, it makes sense to view the world through that lens. And that's how I view my clients. Okay, I hope this was helpful for you. Key points as you move forward. Try on different theories, read about them, see what resonates with you. When you find a theory that resonates with you, dig deep into it and get to know it well. And use interventions from wherever, right? The interventions you can use from whatever theory you want. The best intervention is the intervention that works best for your client in that moment with what they're dealing with. Okay, thank you for joining me today on Mentoring Moments. If you have any questions or things that you'd like me to address, you're welcome to email me at info@therapywithdavid.com. Or if you know me, you can text me. But if you don't know me, don't text me because that'll be creepy. Okay, so good to chat with you today. Thank you for all of you that are listening. Take care of yourself and may you be well.
Today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sunsmiles. You're going to love it.